Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Have you heard of Rodanum Fields? Gardeners, do you worry about your skin in the sun? Would you like a product that can protect your skin that is PETA approved and doesn't test on animals? Doctors Kathy Rodan and Kathy Fields from Stanford University are the creators of Proactive, and they are expanding their skincare line. So last July, my stepdaughter Aroka and I joined the company, and I have to say we are both totally loving their products. They're super easy to use, but they also make you feel so healthy and beautiful. And so what I really like about them is I don't have to wear any kind of cover up or anything. I just put the mask on when I get out of the shower and just, it dries really quick. I wash my face with the other products. They have great sunscreen that can protect you from the harsh rays of the sun anymore. So if you're interested about learning about Rodanum Fields, either their products or the business, you can email me at orgpodcast@gmail.com, just orgpodcast@gmail.com, and we can set up a phone call. Either you could talk to me or my stepdaughter Aroka or my team leader Jessica, who is just amazing. And another reason I joined Rodanum Fields was to have an opportunity to learn about you know, how to build an online business at the same time. So just another little side project of mine. If you want to learn more about either Rodanum Fields and how much they have helped my skin look beautiful, or if you are interested in joining the business and learning a little bit about building an online business, it's a great opportunity. Rodanum Fields is just growing. If you haven't heard about them, if you just want to know anything more, send me an email and we'll set up a time to do a phone call. And it's just fun, totally informative, and just something I think people will be interested in. All type of skincare that really makes you feel good. It makes your skin so soft. Doesn't test on animals. And so it's something that I've been trying and using since July now, and I really like their things. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. So I'm super excited because I have a friend who I met on Facebook through Podcasters Paradise and some other online groups and programs and education things that we belong to. And she's here to tell us about her gardening journey, as well as maybe we'll talk a little bit. She has an amazing podcast where she interviews people who have, you know, kind of had like a second chance. Maybe they knew somebody who, well, I'll let Gina, you tell us about it. And so welcome to the show today, Gina Kane.
Thanks so much, Jackie. I'm just so pleased to be invited to your show. And yes, on my podcast, I interview people that have overcome tremendous difficulties, sickness, things like that. And they have gone on to do inspiring things as you have created this podcast. So thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for being here. So you're in British Columbia, right? On the coast by the Pacific Ocean?
I am about an hour from the ocean. I'm in Coquitlam, which is east of Vancouver. And I live up in the mountains in a brand new development where there's really no yards. So I have just, the grass has been taken out and a garden has been put in.
Nice. All right. Well, do you want to tell us, I do always start the show asking, I guess, about your very first gardening experience. You know, were you a kid? Were you an adult? What'd you grow? Who were you with? Like, you're from British Columbia. Mm-hmm. But a different part from Port George, is that right? Or
I grew up in Prince George, which is about 10 hours north of here. And I don't really remember my first gardening experience. My mom always gardened. So I would have been out there in the car seat watching her. And I think the very first thing that I really remember is when she would give us jars and she'd ask us to catch honeybees for her greenhouse. And now being a mom myself, I'm not sure if that was just about gardening or if that was her way to get a little bit of time to herself.
I want wonder that about my mom too sometimes. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. My mom begged me to be in the garden. I sure didn't want to have anything to do with working in the hot sun when I was a kid, mm-hmm. but she was always out there. But sometimes I wonder, was she just this good with that to have a little space? Because, I mean, she was an amazing mom. She took us everywhere. I don't really think so. But anyway, catch the honeybees.
Yeah.
And so then did she grow organically, or is that how you learned how to garden organically?
Yeah, I think my mom had 5 brothers and sisters, and she grew up learning to garden organically. So I learned everything from her and from my aunt. And then also, once I moved out on my own, my neighbor was a really huge organic gardener. He took an entire city backyard and turned it into a garden.
Wow. It's nice to grow up near places like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Now, you have 3 children, right?
Mm-hmm,
is that correct?
I do.
And so yeah. Do they like to be in the garden with you?
I find the little ones really like to be in the garden. Then, I don't know, once they hit about 12, it's not as exciting anymore.
Okay. Yep, that's probably how I was too. So tell us about something that grew well this year. It was your pictures on Facebook that really like made me be like, you got to come talk on my show. Look at those things you're growing.
Oh, thanks. My tomatoes were my favorite this year because every year I have so many tomatoes. I just don't know what to do with them all at the same time. So the last couple of years I've started staggering planting them by a few weeks. And then I found this year it was perfect because there'd be a lot ready and I just, you know, take them to work or give them away. But then a few weeks later, there's more ready.
Nice. So how far apart did you stagger them by at like every a couple of weeks? I guess you said by a few weeks.
Yeah, probably a couple, 10 days to 2 weeks maybe.
And like, but when did you start, I guess, is what I was thinking.
When do I start? I'd start either planting the seeds, in layers.
But like in April or May, or like how early can you start putting your, and you started them indoors?
If I start them indoors, sometimes I get excited and even I'd go as early as February. But this year's been crazy, so I actually bought them all from Art Naps when they were ready.
Okay. And then when did you start putting them in the ground? Like April, May, June? Like what's your season like there?
Here? We're really blessed here. It's actually pretty warm. So the first frost probably ends in April.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how about next year? Is there something new or different you're excited to try?
Yeah, next year I'm going to work on really adding some compost to the soil because a good friend of mine, her garden just flourished this year way more than mine did. And I said, oh my gosh, what's your secret? And she said, I just went to Starbucks. And she said, we asked them for all the coffee grinds. And we mixed in all the coffee grinds with compost in the very beginning of the year. And we've hardly had to fertilize at all. And I was just like, wow, like her stuff is just beautiful. So that's what I want to try next year.
Cool. Maybe you can hook me up with her and I could interview her one day too.
Compost. Yeah, I should.
Definitely works. And I've been having the funnest time. So I'm teaching in a second grade this year. I don't know if I told you that part. So that's part of like why I'm so busy. And so the kids, not only do they get snack in the afternoon, they get a healthy snack, but they get breakfast in my room now. So we've been like saving the compost and watching it change. It's been our big science experiment.
Oh, cool.
It's fun. And I'm going to start a gardening club there. With another teacher after school, we're going to do it one day a week. And so in the fall, I was like, well, let's teach them about compost. And maybe I'm dreaming, but I'm hoping we're going to get the cafeteria to start saving their compost. And we could put, because they have a greenhouse there. And there's like, I was thinking there's like this little corner with these picnic tables that's just grass right now. Maybe we could make it into a little garden. Maybe we could get a compost pile out there. I don't know. I'm worried about the dogs. And where the school that I teach in, there's a lot of dogs. But yeah, I've always loved compost. Compost is a big part of our garden. It's like one of the few gardening jobs I like know how to do. I've always done. My mom always had compost when we were kids. So, cool. Yeah, I think you'll love it. So, and you know what? When I worked at this golf course this summer, they were happy to let us take home your compost. So if your friend already has the Starbucks taken up, there might be like some other places you could get some stuff to add to your own. But I don't know. We go through quite a bit of, like, we managed to make it. The biggest thing to me to add to your compost, like right now you could be getting leaves, but then the other nice one is like grass clippings if you have any lawn around. But leaves are really good too.
We don't have a compost, and that's kind of sad for me because I've always had a compost. But this development we're in, it has a real bear problem because they've just built so many homes and just clear cut all the trees. So we have to keep all of our green bins locked, and it gets picked up once a week. So then, you know, we have the option to go there and purchase the compost back from them, or like you said, see if we can get it from restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Well, the restaurants might appreciate it because it would reduce their bear trouble, and it would reduce their just the number of times they have to throw, you know, have the garbage people come to their business. I was surprised at how much, you know, some places are like, no way, we're not going to let you do it. But other places, I was amazed at how much compostable food I took home this summer from that restaurant just on my during my shift.
Good tips.
Yeah, and the other cooks would help me save it because my boss was super cool about protecting the environment, and just she appreciated the fact that we were willing to do it. So there's some of those people out there. All right, well, do you want to tell us about something that didn't work maybe so well this season that didn't go quite as you expected?
Yeah, this year it's my probably like, I don't know, 15th year on my own gardening. And it's the first year that my beans didn't grow any fruit. I only had one bean.
Huh. So why do you think that was? Do you think it was because of your soil, or because maybe they were old seeds, or like what do you, or the weather? Cold?
You know, I actually don't have any idea. I've been thinking about doing some research because the flowers were just beautiful. I had so many flowers and it grew fabulously, but there was just only one bean, so maybe it was too hot, but I really don't know.
I don't know. I mean, everybody knows I'm not the world's best gardener. For me, it almost sounds like a pollination problem. Could it be like if you have flowers and they, I'm like the worst scientist. I don't know. Something's making me think that it could be. It seems like if in Mike's like we used to have that problem with the eggplants is what's making me think it, that the eggplants didn't. And one of the problems was he had his eggplants in too many different beds. Like he'd put like one or two eggplants with a tomato here and there and have them kind of around the garden. And then he put them all in like one clump, like five of them together, or like he would make like a bed, kind of like a block of eggplants, like a block of corn or something in different bed. And that seemed to solve his problem. And now he seems to have that eggplant thing mastered. We get a lot of eggplants, but it makes me, I want to say he said it was something about the bees and the pollen. So I don't know if that could have been your green beans. Yeah. It's definitely the weather's been getting crazy around here. And I even was reading the other day, I think it's been like 10 straight months of hottest record. The last 10 months in a row.
I am. My garden gets the full day sun.
It does. So, well, that's good for some things for sure. Yeah. Green beans, I think, do like the cool. Now, are you planting pole beans or bush beans?
This year I did bush beans.
Okay. Mike likes bush beans the best too. He said that where we are oftentimes, I was like, why don't you build the teepees anymore? And he said, because it's too heartbreaking because they're beautiful. The beans are on there and you're just about to pick them and it will frost and they freeze. So, before we get to the root of things, we're going to take a moment to thank our sponsors, my good friend, Dacia Daly from Simply Josephine.
It's all about handcrafted soaps and apron love here at Simply Josephine. Located in Montana's beautiful Tobacco Valley, I create everything from my home studio. Currently, I offer 6 different kinds of handmade soaps, 3 different salves, using wildcrafted plant medicine from right here in our beautiful valley. In addition to my body care products, I also make several styles of aprons. Everything is available at simplyjosephine.com. We want to share a little love with the Organic Gardener Podcast listeners. We're offering 15% off. Use code OGP15 at checkout. Thanks and have a beautiful day. simplyjosephine.com.
This is Robin Kelson from the Good Seed Company. We sell heirloom seeds for common use. We offer vegetable, herb, flower seeds locally adapted for our area and all open pollinated and heirloom, a lot of them organic or ecologically farmed. We also sell seed collections to help you, to help new gardeners be successful in their growing. We sell flower collections that are good for pollinators. We sell medicinal herbs and culinary herbs, all sorts of seeds that would be of interest to new and experienced gardeners. www.goodseedco.net. We're having a sale right now on garlic and greens for fall, if you're interested.
All right, so this is where I'm going to ask you if you're ready to get to the root of things. Mm-hmm. And my first question there is, which activity is your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something you got to kind of force yourself to get out there and do?
Yeah, the harvest. I feel so sad when I have to pick everything. So I like to leave it. And then, as you said, the frost comes and just destroys it all.
Uh-huh. I get like that too. And it's, to me, sometimes it gets a little time consuming to do the harvest, to be honest. But like, I don't know how Mike goes out there and picks all those beans. And then he's going to snap all the beans, and then he's gonna can all the beans. So that part to me, sometimes I like to go, like, I'm into a garden where I can just go and pick the food that I'm gonna eat that night, and that works for me. I like to harvest like that. Yeah, it is sad. I have a hard time with my flowers. I never want to cut my flowers that way because I just like to look at them. I'm like, oh well, they're so pretty in the garden right where they are.
Yeah.
But I have been getting better about deadheading since I started my podcast, at least.
All right. What a difference it makes, yeah.
Right? So, Gina, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden? What do you love to do out there the most?
My favorite activity in the garden is just to work with my bare hands in the dirt and smell the herbs and the flowers.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Yes, definitely smelling the herbs is really nice. So what's the best gardening advice you have ever received? Like, is there something you want to share that's been really meaningful to you?
You know, the best advice I ever had was from my neighbor, and he told me to poke holes all around the roots of my tomatoes, like about half a foot away, and to just keep that soil really loose so the air could get in there. And ever since then, my tomatoes just tripled in size and volume.
Okay, that sounds, you know, like an important thing to keep your soil aerated. So poke holes like a pinky size hole, or like with a stick, or like how big of a hole and how deep?
Yeah, with the stick, just poke a stick really deep down all around his tomato plants. And then as you water and the dirt starts to harden, he'd just keep poking at it.
Now, do you have your tomatoes in deep beds or do you have them straight in the ground?
Mine are just straight in the ground.
Okay. That's one thing I think that's always helped Mike is he usually puts his tomatoes in these really deep beds that are like 3 feet tall, so the roots can go down really low. But I think he does that too, kind of around the base of them when the soil gets hard, make sure that it's always aerated. Okay, cool. What's your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move, or if you did just recently move, like, what was the most important thing for you to take with you? What would you need?
If I could only take one thing, I think I would have to say my shovel.
Okay. How about, what's your favorite recipe to cook from the garden? Is there something you really like to make?
I was torn between two. My favorite would be curry chicken with fresh cilantro or a nice fresh Greek salad.
Do you want to tell us like how you make a curry chicken with Greek cilantro? I mean, with cilantro?
Yeah, sure. I found the recipe from the Wheat Belly guy. It's a pretty simple, just onions and chicken, and brown it up with some butter, and then add some curry powder and some coconut milk. And then it's only, I think, a quarter cup of fresh cilantro, but I go crazy and put in a ton of fresh cilantro.
I always do that too. Cool. Oh, that sounds really good. How about a favorite internet resource? Is there a place you go on the web to find out about gardening?
You know, in all honesty, I only ever really use Google because my mom has just been such an amazing resource to me.
That's where I always start out too. How about a favorite reading material or a book, magazine, a blog that you recommend?
I do have a favorite book. It's called Just Ask Wim by Wim van der Zandt. And he's the son of the owner of Art Naps, the garden center here. So I just found that book very helpful because it teaches you so much about preparation of the garden to all these questions that you could have on why things didn't work.
Oh, cool. All right. We'll have to look that up and check it out. So do you have like any business advice or maybe podcasting advice or something for listeners about, I don't know, anything or about gardening, if you know anything about gardening business or?
Well, I only know about gardening business as a customer, and there's two places that I like to give my business to. They're quite far away and it's worth the drive for me because they always have really fresh produce and a lot of potted flowers, and they have really beautiful inspirational decor, and I think those three things just are magic in a produce store to me.
I think that's awesome advice. What a great way to hear from your customers. So you're the first one that's kind of flipped it around that way. I like that a lot. Okay, so are you ready for my final question? It's kind of a doozy.
I'm ready.
Okay. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel, Gina, is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
I think mine's actually pretty small and simple, and what you're doing with your kids in your school just would be such a great start, because I would like to see gardens in every single neighborhood and that every community is responsible to grow their own food locally in season, at least to start.
Aw, I like that. Do you have a community garden near where you guys are?
You know, our community garden is probably about a 15-minute walk. And as much as I love community gardens, I think it would just be amazing to see gardens in the community instead of just this one designated spot where you go to garden.
Nice. So how big is your community? Like, how many thousands of people? Like 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, a million? I don't know.
Well, I don't know how many people, but it is growing so quickly that this year, the new kindergarten kids, there was 4.5 classes of 20 kids each, and there was other kids that had to go to a different school catchment.
Wow, that is big.
So that's 100 kids that are 5 just coming into the school age. So it's growing very, very fast.
That is fast. The schools I teach at are pretty big. Like, our district has 2,000 students or something. So we have 9 second grades. And there's 9 third grades, I think. Mm-hmm. And that, like, when we had a kindergarten, there's a whole building of just kindergartens. There's probably 9 kindergartens. But it's a big area. But that is fast. For 4.5 kindergartens is a lot in a school. And then to have some kids have to go to a different area. So, it would be great to have more community gardens and school gardens where you are. Are they putting them in? I mean, I have to say, the school farming gardening movement, I mean, the fact that my principal wanted a gardening club, it was one of the, like, there were like 5 clubs listed, like a chess club, a garden club. I was going to start an art club. There's a culture club, and then like a reading club. And so the fact that she wanted to have a gardening club and that they have a greenhouse there is nice. And the school I taught at last winter has a greenhouse and gardening. I think the middle schoolers do the gardening at that school. And I just think it's definitely growing. I've interviewed a few people about it. As a matter of fact, I just replayed my interview of Patty Armbruster, who teaches horticulture in a school in Montana. She's on the other side. Yeah. And so I do think there's a lot of that, but yep, we can definitely use more everywhere. All right. So do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
My favorite gardening quote is by Audrey Hepburn, and it's, "To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow."
Aw, that's so sweet. I love that. Okay, Well, do you want to say anything about more about your podcast if listeners are interested in maybe your story at all?
Sure. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on this show and just say that I think you're creating such an awesome resource for people to be able to hear tips from all around the globe and to be able to put those into their own use. So thank you for that.
Aww. Well, it's an honor. It's because of guests like you who share their golden seeds, which you definitely dropped a lot of golden seeds today. I've really been enjoying this summer hearing from people who have small backyard gardens and are feeding their families more than, like, last year. I kind of focused more on, like, the bigger people who were, like, more like my husband trying to grow enough food to feed their family for, like, an entire year, whereas this year I've been more into, like, just supplementing your little and little gardens. So,
yeah, I think for me, gardens is really just a source of therapy. And my story, just real quick, is I was a commercial bus driver for 10 years and I had a heart attack. So I was off work for 2 years. And in those 2 years, I just spent so much time digging in the garden and listening to the birds and going for walks. And I don't know how I would have gotten through that time without my garden. And then my little one, he was only two, so I would get him to bring out his dump trucks and he'd play and dig with me in the dirt. And I think that was some of our best time together.
Yeah.
So that's how my podcast started. And I just really wanted to find people that had gone through what I was going through and see that they made it through. So from there, I ended up going back to work and starting a brand new career. And now it's hard to keep my garden because I'm so busy, but I still really love it.
Okay. And tell listeners where they can, what the name of your podcast is again, and like where they can find it on iTunes or Stitcher.
Oh, sure. Thank you. My podcast is called A Second Chance, and you can find it at everydayisasecondchance.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us this morning, Gina.
And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah. And you have a great day.
You too.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.